So who came off more presidential last night in the last presidential debate? And how does the style of each candidate influence voters? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Thursday, October the 16th. And we will continue our analysis of last night's presidential debate, looking at how the candidates performed, how they said what they said, and who was the most effective. And we will wonder if you got the information that you wanted from last night's debate or any of the past debates. Did you like the formats and the moderators? We will welcome your comments at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will be talking about this just until 7:30, by the way. Then after 7:30, welcoming in Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. So if you want to talk more debate, get your calls in soon. Our guest is Catherine Olson, Professor of Communication at UW-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we had a caller just at the end of our last hour when we were also talking about the debate, Saul in Stevens Point, who was kind of frustrated with what he was hearing, I think, because he listened to the debate on the radio and had a much different impression than those who watch the debate on television. Seeing these candidates does make a difference, doesn't it, Professor Olson?
Yes, it does. Well, I should say it can. Mm-hmm. There are a couple things that we should think about here. I think his main point, as I heard him, was that he thought it was more important for people to listen to what the candidates were saying. And mm-hmm. I don't think watching television necessarily precludes you from doing that. Best example that I can think of from last night is when John McCain delivers his key line, I'm not George Bush. If you wanted to run against George Bush, you should have run 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But whether you're watching on TV or listening on the radio, if you were listening carefully to the debate, the more appalling thing I thought was that comment is preceded, as he tries to get to it, by an answer to the balancing the budget question. And Bob Schieffer has just asked, could you balance the budget in 4 years? And McCain says, sure I can. And then he rushes to his line. I mean, that should have caught voters, I think, and required the moderator to do some follow-up. Mm-hmm. So I think you can listen closely even when you're watching on TV. I agree with you that you get some additional avenues of information when you are watching, especially if you have the reaction shot notions on there. But it is interesting because there has been a longstanding myth about the Nixon-Kennedy debates. Every time we have an election with televised debates, we hear that Nixon won if you were listening on radio and Kennedy won if you were watching on television. There was a really interesting study done in 1987 that went back to look at the primary evidence sources for that because we are so far removed and people repeat it from each other at this point. And what they found is that there was really no credible evidence, a bit of anecdotal evidence. Only one of the 31 surveys that could have proven a difference between radio and TV listeners even broke out radio listeners from TV, and the sample size there wasn't enough to have proven something. And the other two possible places it could have come from were pretty personal and anecdotal.
Right. I didn't hear that study. That's interesting. I think it is anecdotal that we all just thought Nixon looked uncomfortable, sweaty, and shifty, and Kennedy did not if we watched it on television.
Well, and that's true, too. That I think that plays into what we're saying about how you look leaderly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody disagrees that the visual plays some part in leaderliness. Mm-hmm. But the myth seems to take it to the point that alone, that the visual or the appearance could shift the debate. And I think it certainly strengthened Kennedy's image as someone who could stand up to Khrushchev, which was the main push point, I think, of the 1960 election more than some of the domestic issues. But it was not solely that he looked better. He also sounded stronger. Other things he did in the debate made him seem the more credible leader.
And by the way, I saw tapes of that. I didn't watch it live. The polls, though, are saying that whether they were watching it on TV or listening on the radio, I presume most of them were watching it on TV. Last night, Barack Obama won the debate, according to a CBS poll, a CNN poll. Then there were cable news networks that had their own focus groups of independent voters. And it was like 2-1, Barack Obama doing a better job than John McCain. So why do you think that is?
Well, I think the function of debate speaks partly to that, and the fact that Obama is ahead already. I think he did a very good job. The expectations were different for both of them. Obama had to do less in this third debate to look presidential, to get his message across, because he's done well consistently. So he needed not to have a slip, not to rise to the debate, to the bait, mm-hmm. And basically to continue the status quo. McCain had a bigger job to do because he needed this to help him turn the tide, and how debates might do that is through voter learning, bringing out some new information they didn't know before, seeming especially leaderly by comparison. I mean, he seems leaderly, but by comparison, who would you prefer? And exciting participants. So I think that in those ways, they both did a credible job, but Obama probably did do the better job compared to what his expectations were, and has consistently shown his abilities. But McCain did do better than he's done in some of the previous debates.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with the analysis that John McCain came across as maybe a little bit too angry or aggressive, and that Obama came across as calm and cool?
Obama came across as calm and cool, I thought, although if you were watching with the reaction shots, mm-hmm. occasionally I thought that the smiles or the chuckles could have, when McCain was talking, could have been interpreted as condescending a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But usually he was just basically trying to maintain his flow, if you will. McCain needed to do something, so I wasn't too surprised that he came out more aggressive. When you think about what is too aggressive, you have to think about it in context. And so he needed to do that as the down candidate, but it played against a background of him as erratic, defensive, and so it's what he needed to do, but I can understand mm-hmm. the perception. And I think probably the reaction shots particularly were important when we would see him, especially in the latter half of the debate, rolling his eyes while the opponent was speaking or blinking too fast. That's usually not a good sign that someone feels in command, or sometimes we take it as an indication of truth-telling. The interrupting can be problematic. Again, he needed to be defensive, but some of the research has shown, particularly, I'm thinking of a study by Daly, Hink, and Hink, that what we want in our leaders is a balance of aggressiveness and politeness.
Right.
So it's sort of a tough line to hit, especially if you're a challenger they're both challengers here, but if you're the challenger who is falling behind in the polls and you're expected to do something.
Yeah. Let me take our weather break and then two calls for Catherine Olson, professor of communication at UW-Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7:30, the third and final forum in our examination of the candidates running in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We will welcome in the Democratic incumbent, U.S. Representative Ron Kind of La Crosse, after 7:30. To your calls now for Catherine Olson, a professor of communication at UW-Milwaukee, talking about last night's debate. Steve in Solon Springs is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last night, John McCain was trying to get a direct answer out of Barack Obama, and he didn't succeed, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
it's been a problem throughout his entire campaign.
Which question didn't he get an answer to, Steve?
John, the situation with John Lewis, who was making some very, I would consider it almost explosive, but definitely condescending towards Sarah Palin and John McCain, concerning them being attached to George Wallace, which is crazy.
I thought
I
thought he did answer that, though, Steve.
No, he didn't. Here's what he does all the time. He parses his words. He will not give a direct answer. All he needed to do was say, yes, I condemn that, and it needs to stop, or no, I agree with it. And this is a problem, because once he gets himself in a situation where he won't back down, he's going to get us all killed if he becomes president, because he is terrible at diplomacy.
Well, Steve, I don't know, Professor Olson, what do you think? I heard him specifically talk about the situation and saying that his campaign did issue a statement, and so did Congressman Lewis, kind of toning down his remarks after that.
That's what I heard, too, but I can hear what the caller is saying in that maybe he should have started with that rather than ended with that. I mean, that may be the parsing the words. For me, sort of along the same line, I thought the place where we needed a more direct answer and maybe one of McCain's better moments in the debate was when he accused Obama of not keeping his word from the Clinton debate to sit down with McCain if he were the nominee and decide whether or not he was going to take public financing. And, I mean, that becomes an issue of trust and leadership. And so I thought, for me anyway, McCain scored there, because that's where we didn't get as direct an answer as we would have liked. I thought on Ayers and Lewis, we got sufficient answers. Acorn could have used a little bit more, but Obama was able to contextualize it in terms of what he'd done for them with the motor voter law, which is pretty innocuous.
Thanks, Steve, very much. Mark in McHenry, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I have to say, speaking as an independent who has voted Republican and Democratic in the past, that I got so sick and tired of McCain's smarmy, smirky, sort of disrespectful, attitude and manner to Obama, that I had to stop watching the television debate and turned on WPR to listen to it. And I have to tell you that listening to it on the radio, Obama sounded even more presidential and more balanced and more rational, I think, in some cases than McCain. I'm sure that stuff plays real well with the red meat, base, but it doesn't play well with independents, and it certainly didn't play well with me. We've had 8 years of that sort of carriage in public forums, and I really, I'm sorry. I feel that Obama won the debate, and listening to it on the radio, I felt even more firmly that he won the debate.
Yeah. A reaction, Professor Olson?
That's a good example of how the words and the actions can consistently point in the same direction, not necessarily contradict each other. And I agree with you that there was probably too much from the McCain side, some condescension. Why don't you travel to Colombia and see? That was reminiscent of when George H.W. Bush tried to talk down to Geraldine Ferraro on foreign policy, and I thought Obama didn't get mad. He handled himself well. Some sarcasm from McCain, like when he was responding to one of Barack Obama's policy statements, made kind of a slam and then said, okay, I get it now. So I agree with you that detracts, and a good example of where we can see that detracting is the 2000 debates between George W. Bush and Al Gore, where Gore was sighing over the top, shaking his head, but then also just seemed impolite, even though he was doing the better job on the policy details. And if you looked at immediately after the debate, the pollsters thought he won, but the more people studied the debate as the media covered it, found some exaggerated claims which seemed to deflate further the expectations that he had for his opponent, the lead that he had melted away. So definitely acting condescending or unfriendly or unpolite is a negative, and we could see it with the Ohio uncommitted voters dialing down when they were unhappy.
Yeah. Talk some about the Joe the Plumber technique, and didn't that get out of hand?
Well, I thought so, and I thought your previous guest did a nice job of both explaining how it got to be used too frequently, so it sounded like a one-note aspect of the campaign. But I think it also got turned on John McCain, particularly in the healthcare segment. If you remember, he brought up Joe there again and said, tell Joe the plumber, and this is the plumber who I think your last guest also pointed out, probably wasn't that representative of workers today, both because of income level and because of being in a position to possibly buy the business. And that was his problem with Obama, not necessarily his working class tax cut. But the problem was McCain brought up Joe the plumber as an example who would be fined if he didn't give his workers health care. And he thought he had scored again with Joseph Plummer. And Obama says, I can tell him what his fine would be, and that would be zero because small businesses are exempt. And the look on McCain's face was...
disbelief.
Disbelief and shock.
Yeah.
So you get kind of that deer in the headlights moment that we remember from the Quayle-Benson debates that does not look leaderly, even if it's a small point, but trying to overuse something, I think, to... subtracted. I can really appreciate that he needed to connect with people. That may have been not the best connection device. And as I watched the meter at the bottom of the screen on the Ohio voters, it was interesting to watch how Obama, even at the times when he was when the voters didn't like initially what he was saying, or on the negative ads where he started low, he'd talk through his answer, but then at the end of each segment, he would try to bring it back to some of those meat and potato issues that we all care about, like the economy, education for the kids, health care, and you know. And then you would see the numbers for both men and women rise as he brought it back to the issues. So I think that strategy, rather than having a narrative example that illustrates lots of your points, made him look both better prepared and broader.
Mm-hmm. Rob in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, in watching the debate last night, the one thing that I saw was that when the discussion turned to moral issues, I noticed, because they had the split screen up, that the that's when I would say Obama was probably the least comfortable. And the reason I say that is because it looked like his color changed just a little bit, but it was more to the point, I think, where the focus and kind of the intensity that he normally has in his eyes when he's talking about the economy and when he's talking about health care just isn't there when it turns to those moral issues. And I think in the previous hour, the point was raised, you know, where the McCain campaign just can't seem to really latch on to an issue and really ride it, and it looks a little bit like Bob Dole's campaign. I would say that's probably the issue for McCain in some respects. On the McCain side, when I viewed him, you know, usually if there's a point where he disagrees with Obama, he'll maybe crack a smile to some extent, but when he feels like Obama, this is just my take on it, when he looks or thinks that Obama is telling an outright fabrication, then his eyes will widen, he'll raise his eyebrows, and you'll see a bigger grin on it, like last night. So it's definitely more accentuated.
Thank you, Rob. I'm sorry. We have only a minute or so for our guest to respond to your comments. Professor Olson?
I think that's really interesting. I do think that the moral issue, you're probably right, was where Obama was less maybe engaged because there was less policy to do. They were basically talking about appointing Supreme Court justices, and they both said they wouldn't use a litmus test of Roe versus Wade. Obama, I thought, did a good job, if you were watching the uncommitted voters toward the end of that segment, by talking about the common ground that there could be based on between pro-life and pro-choice on preventing unwanted pregnancies in the first place. And so both of them, you know, I think did a good job. You're probably right, McCain may have done better there. I think the only problem with that being McCain's issue, and I agree with you that he needs one, but he needs something that's going to pull in more voters. And the morals and the Roe versus Wade, I don't think is going to swing this election. If you're strongly pro-life, you've already made up your mind. And I don't think there's going to be an independent voters tend to be more pro-choice. So if he's going to turn the tide in terms of election outcome, I think he needs something else, although that issue may mobilize his base and get them to the polls. And so that's just as important as changing someone's mind. If Al Gore had been able to get 537 more Floridians who already supported him to the polls, the 2000 election would never have gone to the Supreme Court at all.
We'll have to leave it there. Catherine Olson, thanks very much for being with us. I hope we can talk longer the next time.
You're welcome.
Catherine Olson, Professor of Communication at UW-Milwaukee.